I want to talk to you today about the fact that you are predestined and called. Most of us in this room have been lied to. Amen? By the world standards, by even our parents, even though they didn't mean it maybe. They themselves did not know right. So we have a different version of the world than what God would have us to have. And we need to turn our life around and recognize that God has a plan for our life. That if we will search Him out in our everything and not lean on what we want to do, but put Him first in our life, God is going to walk you right up to your destiny till one day you'll just be walking along and it'll seem business as usual, and then you're going to know you arrived. Amen? Because God is going to take you to that place because He created you for a purpose. He called you. You didn't beat down the door getting to Him. He's been beating on your door since the day you were born, trying to get you to open it up to listen to Him. But because of our, if we're Jewish, stiff-neckedness, right? Or if we are not Jewish, hard-headedness, God had to do a lot of beating on our door before we'd open it and let it in. And most of us, we only open the peephole to see who was outside. We, even to this day, have not yet opened the door and fully let Him in. How many people recognize what I'm talking about today? The name of this Bible study is, You Have a Purpose. I like that. That has a nice kind of ring to it. For a guy that lived his life without purpose, I now can verify that everybody has a purpose. You have one. And it is to your glory to find out what it is. And the only way you're going to find out what it is if you start to look for it, if you start to serve Him, if you start to do what He asks you to do. I'm going to Romans 8:28. This is our memory verse. Why? I have all kinds of memory verses. I call them life-changing scriptures. If you can get a hold of these scriptures that you learn here in the first 90 days and the Bible that comes along with it, your life is going to dramatically change. The way you think, the way you perceive things, like I was telling you about the glass, half empty or half full, or how you view a crisis in your life when you're walking through. Instead of wondering, why am I going through this, you start asking yourself, what am I learning in this? You see, you have got to get to a place in your life where you receive the truth that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's in charge of everything. So if you're going through something and you've really given your life to Him and don't hold out none, then whatever you go through is going to be for His glory in your life. Hallelujah. In verse 28, it starts out and it says, and we know, and this is Paul, the guy that's been through the mill. I mean, he's been through it. He's been stoned. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. He's been scourged. He's been shipwrecked. I mean, he's been hated by his own kind and then again by every kind. You have not even stepped into none of them ballparks yet. And we all throw those Christian yuppie parties all the time. Oh, woe is me. But I'm here to tell you that Paul says, and we know, we that have been through it, we that have given our life to God, we that are seasoned veterans, we that truly serve Him, we know that all things, everybody say all. Say it like you mean it, all. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now everybody put your finger in the air. Now take and stick it on your heart. This is for you. As you're going through the fire, as you're wondering why you're going through the fire, as you're sitting there thinking, he doesn't love me anymore. Where did he go? No. In the midst of it all, you are being equipped for the calling that God has on your life. You are being equipped and you are being motivated that direction that He wants you to go. And no matter what kind of wickedness, evilness, terribleness that might come upon you in your life, God is going to sovereignly turn it around for His good. I sat there when I first got saved. And you know what? I had wasted 35 years of my life. Wasted, tore up, thrown out, YA, right? Jail, prison, 3 times. I did pretty good. And those were some of my better things. A lot of nastiness and wickedness went on in my life. A terrible life, a terrible lifestyle, and a terrible way of living. And I got saved at 35 years old and I went, what can He do with me? And then I read this verse. All things work to the good of those that are called according to His purpose. You see, I went through all these things, but now I deal with convicts every day. I deal with girls that have walked the street. I deal with people that have had terrible drug habits. I deal with very wayward individuals of all kinds. And I deal with those that have never had those problems, but had many other problems too. And I can identify and I can relate to every one of those people. They can't walk up to me and say, and mean it, well, brother, you don't understand. Well, check this out, Sister Susu. I can understand. I do understand. I've been through the whole gamut. Lost family, lost children, lost dead relatives, brothers shot in the head, left dead in a car. Amen? I've been through it, and I am here to tell you that I must throw myself in with this group of people that make this bold statement because I see it and I live it. It says, and we, and I am one of the we that is telling you that are soon to be one of the we, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're ever going to go through, God is sovereign. God is going to take you through it. God is going to walk you through it. You are going to get something from it. Somewhere, somehow, God is going to get glory out of it. And if you can receive this into your spirit, then the hope that is inside of you is stirred with the truth, which is the Word of God, to the overcoming of all these things that have been in your life, to the realization that indeed your life has not been a waste, but a preparation for the calling that is before you. Hallelujah. It says in 29, it says, for whom He foreknew, He what? Predestined. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows what trials you must go through. He already knows what workshops you must pass through to get to that place where you walk in His glory and in your destiny. And He has predestined that path and that destination because He knows all the things that are relevant. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Time means nothing to Him. It's something that we live in, not Him. When He says, I am yesterday, today, and tomorrow, what He is telling you is that He lives in the present, the now, and the future always. That's how He knows all things. He is not relegated to the time frame that you and me are. He knows what decision you're going to make when you are presented with certain events that are going to happen in your life. And He knows what corrections He must make to get you to go down the path that you're supposed to go down, even though you miss it 2 or 3 or 4 times. By our obstinacy. Did I say that? Bullheadedness. Stiff-necked if you're Jewish. But bullheadedness if you're not. It's the same. We are prideful. We are ignorant. We are arrogant. And those are some of the nicest things we can call each other if we want to be honest. Amen? We want it now, and we want it our way. We think God is some kind of a Burger King stand. But He's not. And He accepts and long-suffers with us through every situation. And the key word in all this is the fact that you must love God. Amen? And if you will love God with your everything, He is going to lead. He is going to guide. He is going to direct. And you're going to blow it. I'm sorry. You're going to. Oh, well, get used to it. It's called the human experience. None of us are going to be perfected until we go to glory. But He is going to know what you're going to do. And He is going to work on you right where you're at. And He is going to keep long-suffering with you. Keep tugging on you. And along the way, even your booger mistakes, He's going to turn around to His good. I'm going to give you an example. One of the examples I use to try to teach people that they got to pay attention to everything around them is my log cabin in Alaska story. The great white hunter goes to Alaska. Me. Young stud, I think. I get up there. Praise God, I was smart enough to bring rice and beans. I had a starve that year. I get up to Alaska. I fly out on a float plane to Nowhere, Alaska, up the hole in the river. I get there in the summertime. I look like I got freckles for the first time in my life because I do not have the proper stuff to keep the bugs off me. And they got bugs that'll carry you away. And I'm there, and I know I got to build a cabin. But I'm a man, you know, and I can do anything. So I go take and chop down the worst trees in the world to use, and I stack them one on top of another, and I put them not too far away from the river so I don't have to drag my boat too up the farther up the bank because of how smart I am. And I know I'm smart, and if you'd have asked me at that time, Einstein was a pea brain compared to me. It's that being young, male, testosterone thing at large, you know. And I'm sitting there and I build this cabin. And in the middle of winter, I'm hating this cabin. Because I haven't prepared the logs. I haven't built the cabin at all right. It leaks. The wind blows as fast through it as it does outside from the cracks everywhere. And it's 20, 30 below. So me and the family, we're suffering. Wasn't no Jesus there either, so there was a lot of sniveling, you know. And then on top of it all, next winter comes up. I mean, next summer comes up. The spring comes. Summer's on the way. And the river breaks. And I'm sitting there in my cabin, and I'm watching all these big old ice floes going down river. I'm sitting there drinking green beer that I made, because I'm also now a brewer. Making green beer. No liquor stores out there. Ain't got to have it, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching these things as big as this chapel, big old icebergs floating down the river. And I'm sitting there on my cabin going, man, this is cool. And all of a sudden, I notice the river's rising. And I go, oh, no, that's not going to happen. I watch it for a day. It never quits rising because what happens with ice is it goes down riverways and then it stops somewhere. And then more ice hits it and it forms an ice dam. And then the water rises behind it. And I'm watching my cabin and I'm watching the river and I'm going, this is not good. So after watching it for a day, I start taking everything out of my cabin and running up the mountainside with it. Why? Because I had decided to look up in the trees. And in the trees, I could see brush up above my cabin from the last year the river dammed up. Pretty smart, huh? So that's why I started running up and down the mountain, because I knew then that I wasn't getting away with nothing. That sure as I had built it, it was going to become somebody's firewood, and I'd better hurry. And when it started going the second day, I barely got everybody and everything out of my cabin, and the water rose, went up over the roof, and took it all downstream. Why do I tell that story? Because if anything in my life ever taught me to pay attention to everything around me from then on, that was the time. If you watch me, I am always looking at everything. It didn't just come from my street lifestyle. It came from my mountain man lifestyle. Do you get it? And now I pay attention to everything. You got to learn to pay attention. And that workshop I went through, even though I wasn't saved at the time, to this day, I remember it and I use it to teach. And in fact, it causes me to pay attention to this day in my life over almost 30 years later. Did I say that? 20 years later plus change. I want to be truthful. You understand? I'm not that old yet. Amen? But what am I telling you today? You see, there's a lot of people in this room that are going through things, and they're wondering, why am I going through this? God, I thought you loved me. You know I love you. Why do you let these people treat me like this? Why do you let these circumstances and events be in my life? Why do these things happen to me? Why aren't you taking care of me? Why? Because He is preparing you for your destiny. And He loves you so much that He's not listening to your momentary fluxes, but He is being absolutely sure that you become equipped for the destiny that He has prepared for you. And if I wouldn't have gone through that experience, and trust me, how many people know that I was probably hating life as I had to hang my head to my kids and everybody, and I'm sitting there going, it was a rather embarrassing time in my life. Amen? And I had some serious pride issues that I had to deal with. And there was nobody to blame but, you know, me, the man. You get it? Because there wasn't nobody else to blame. But it taught me something even then, that I need to pay attention to everything that's around me. And you know what, people? One of the things that's going to go on in your life is you're going to start to learn to pay attention to the things that really matter. You're going to start to, as you go through different events and stuff in your life, you're going to learn to really, really pray through and seek His voice and get it confirmed instead of acting on your own anymore. You know, there's a lot of people that are pretty spiritual, but there are many voices. There are many voices that you can hear, right? And the Bible says that Satan will imitate an angel of the light. And he's heard God's voice a lot more than you have. And how many people know that you've heard human beings imitate other voices and they can get them pretty close? Can't they? And what makes you think that that stinking little slew-footed pig-faced demon can't do the same thing? Does it sound like I like him very much? I hate his stinking guts. My wife told me one time she almost felt bad for the devil. I go, I sure as hell don't. Why? Because he had it all. And he chose to give it up. Amen? How could I feel sorry for something like that? And on top of it all, he has done nothing but make me and my family and everybody I know miserable from day one. How could I feel sorry? Well, you know what? I don't feel sorry for him. But I recognize his antics, and I recognize what he can be about. And I have learned to pray through, and I won't even tell people what I think I'm hearing. I will wait for God. If God wants me to do something, then He will send me somebody that doesn't even know me to confirm it. Amen? Because I ain't telling nobody nothing. I don't go up to somebody I know and say, well, what do you think? Because they're going to think whatever they think, but I don't care what they think. I want to know as a God. Amen. A lot of people, you know, well, I'm seeking confirmation. And I will say that. I will tell people I'm seeking confirmation on something, but I won't give them any clue what it's all about. Because God is able to send somebody to confirm whatever He speaks to you. Amen. And all these are lessons that you must learn in order to get to that place where God can entrust you with your whole destiny. And all these little workshops and stuff that you go through are to build your patience, to build your people skills, to build your confidence in God and lessen your confidence in you. Did you get that? There's too many of us that do it on our own and we run out of strength, and when that happens, we're all done. We all need to lean on God. We all need to trust in God. We all need to do those things in our lives. And the truth is, when that happens, God will turn around all the bad, wicked things even that went on in your life and use those things for His good. And you know what, people? If it's true for me, it's true for you. And the reason why these are your memory verses that you are supposed to memorize is because they are life-changing scriptures. And they will change your life if you receive them and begin to understand that, you know what? God is sovereign. And He uses the devil. I said, He uses the devil. I said, He uses the devil. So when you sit there and hang your head and run in fear from the devil, then you still have not learned what God is trying to teach you, which is to remember that God is sovereign. And if you have massive demonic attacks going on you, that is going to cause you to grow or else to fail. And then let me tell you the truth of pressure. If you take a lump of coal and put a lot of pressure on it, what's going to happen is it's either going to turn into dust or a diamond. Did you get that? I said, if you take a lump of coal and put it under pressure, it is either going to turn to dust if it is not perfected. Right? If there's a crack or a flaw. Or it's going to turn into a diamond. And God puts us under pressure and uses the devil and things in our lives to perfect us and make us come and be like a diamond. All things work together. And we know, and someday you'll say this too, even though today you're looking at me going, that guy's out of his thinking mind. He don't know nothing. The things I know, I still can't tell you until you get to be one of the we. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love God. To those who are the called according to His purpose, not yours. If you're still trying to fulfill your desire and your purposes, you still got problems. Amen? For whom He foreknew, and He foreknew us all, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is one of the things that you are supposed to be, is what? Conformed to the image of His Son. You are to become about the same things as Jesus was about in His life. You are to be in full-time ministry, ministering to people that are hurting and have nothing else going on in their life, but they need hope. You are to become a supplier of hope to others, just like Jesus is a supplier of hope to you. Amen? And I'm not done. It says, moreover, whom He predestined, which is you, He also called, which is also you. Whom He called, these He also justified. You are justified by the blood of Jesus, and you don't have to justify yourself to nobody. If these first two verses are part of your life. Did you get that? Don't get up there and get all self-righteous on somebody because you're still scandalous and you can't keep your pants on or out of the dope man's house, none of that. That's you, buddy. And those first two things I mentioned hadn't happened in your life yet. Amen? But it says that these things will come to pass because it says, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. And that's where I'm going to stop today. If you will take and accept the fact that God is sovereign in your life and quit throwing your pity parties and just look for what it is God is trying to teach you instead of running from the teaching or trying to figure out what the teaching is or whatever, but just go through acknowledging that He is sovereign. And then you allow Him to mold you to conform to the image of His Son. Are you getting this? That's why these are life-changing verses. Because you got to get a hold of it. Then you got to take it inside, and then you got to believe in it, and then you got to walk in it. Are you understanding? Then those that He have called, He has also justified. Amen? And you will be justified by the blood of Jesus, and He will glorify Himself in you. What does that mean? You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above only and not beneath. And whatever you put your hand to, you will prosper. And the nations of the world will fear you and respect you because they will know that you are a son of the living God. Hallelujah. You get it? So when I sit there and tell you, you have a purpose. We all have work to do. There are none of us that are perfect. Amen? So don't expect to be perfect because you are justified by the blood of Jesus. As long as it says, for those who love God. Now, if you love God, you serve God. If you don't believe that, read 1 John to humble you a little bit. Amen? Because it will humble you when you read it. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what you go through, if you love God, what God is trying to do is get you to grow up. Amen? He's trying to cause you to become that diamond He always purposed for you to be. You're going to go through very stressful things. You're going to go through extremely tedious, long workshops to get you to conform to the first Son of God, who is Jesus. Amen? And however long it takes, that's how long it's going to take. But those whom He calls, these He also justifies. And whom He justifies, these He also glorifies. Hallelujah. You see, people, you are somebody. And you have a purpose for your life and a plan. But it can't be yours. And it must be a submitted vessel unto God. And I'm here to tell you today that every one of you, there is a great destiny waiting for you. But I'm not going to tell you that the pressure is going to be fun or easy. I'm not no church flake. Amen? I'm not the one that's going to tell you, oh, it's going to be okay, brother. The hell it is. If you don't learn to get conformed to Jesus, your workshops are going to be long and grievous for a long time. But in that appointed time, when you have learned and been equipped by the workshops that you go through, by the life that you've lived in Christ, He will take and lift you up on high above all people of the earth. He will establish you. He will establish you. And if He establishes you, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can fight God. Not even no stinking, slew-footed, pig-headed devil. Amen? And I want you guys to quit being afraid of the devil and get in Jesus. And when He comes knocking on your door, go knocking on His head in Jesus. I mean, I get demons jumping off on me. I laugh. Now, I don't suggest you laugh, but it's been happening to me all my life, except I know how to deal with it better now. I mean, I get it where they jump on me. And my breath, I can't breathe. And my little heart starts pitter-pattering, and I can't move. How many people know what I'm talking about? That's one of them stinking little slew-footed pig-headed suckers. But he's messing with the wrong guy. So I laugh at him, which shakes him up a little bit, and then I get one word out my mouth, which is the name above all names, Jesus. And then I get up. I don't lay in bed. Ooh, that was terrible. I get up, and I get some oil out, and I start slopping it around and confessing his future to him and cast him out of my life. Because I already been through that workshop, and I ain't going through none of that fear crap no more. Amen? Oh, I forgot about the waves of fear. They go with it. Fear is not of God. So if you're in fear, know that you're either in your flesh, which is more likely than the other, or else some stinking devil is trying to take you off course. Amen? Always remember that, because fear is not of God. What's the worst thing somebody going to do to you? Send you to heaven? Glory. You know what I mean? I had some young gangbanger out here a few years ago. He walked up to me. I was very much hard on some of the local kids here because they wanted to pee on our walls and drink and stuff. And I told this one group of guys I was going to go to their dad's house. And I go, "Where do you live, man? Why?" "Well, I want to go." "What do you want to go over there for?" I go, "I want to go piss on your door." You know, these guys, they're all, you know, machismoed out, you know. Got the folded drawers and all that, you know. And I just told them, you know, "Hey, put that thing back in your pants. Where do you live anyway? Why? Who are you?" He says, "My name's Dominic, and I want to know where you live. Why?" "I want to go piss on your door." "What do you mean?" "Well, I want to tell your dad that you come up and piss on my dad's door, so I figure it's okay I go down and piss on your dad's door." Now, my language may be crude, but my intention was right to the point. "Look, you little punk. You don't come up on my dad's porch and pee on it. Or else I'm going to go down to your porch and pee on it. And we'll all do whatever we got to do." He goes, "I'm going to kill you, man." I go, "Look, quit your woof-woofing. Do it, or I'm going to grab you by the scruff of your neck and throw you out of here." You get it? Fear is not of God. Amen? I love my dad. I'm not going to have people disrespecting him. You get that? I'm not going to let people come into his house and abuse it. I'm not going to let people run their mouth about God. Okay? I love my dad. And if you love your dad, you'll be that way too. Maybe not quite as graphic, but definitely the same intentions of the heart. Amen? Would I have done it? Yeah, I would have. He figured that out in a hurry too. My whole point is this, people. That God has called you. And you know what? You better get a hold of this. And this is, I'm going to close now. God has called you, and you are at a place that is unlike any other on the face of the earth. There is no other place on the face of the earth like this. And God has ordained this place, and God has ordained that you are in this place. So if that is true, then you need to just stand up, take your lick, go through, get equipped, kick his butt instead of him kicking yours, and get on with your life and your calling in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I love you, God, and let it be today that each and every person here absolutely know this truth, that you are sovereign, God. And God, as you are sovereign, let it be that we understand that not everything that happens in our life is instantly explainable. But in a day to come, we will look back and recognize it was all about you equipping us for your destiny in our life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.